Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know what the glory of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church is? It is changeless. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Changeless. And therefore, dependable. Do you know what it is like to be in love with a changeable person? Dependable. During our journey to the One Church, two members of the Hermitage visited Holy Assumption Monastery in Calistoga, California. The monastery is an Orthodox religious community, and we met a Russian Orthodox priest that day, which was their patronal feast. The abbess of the monastery accorded us a warm welcome. In fact, this icon was presented to us by her. She took the prayer rope off her wrist and put it on mine. We received a warm welcome. Seeing my Western attire, a white collar and clericals, she told us this joke. How many Orthodox bishops does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer, change? What's change? I swiftly made the Eastern sign of the cross and said, may God continue to bless and protect those who protect the faith. This is the heart of Holy Orthodoxy, which offers the world the same faith that the early church learned and practiced. What is the only part of the world that did not need missionaries, did not need to be catechized, did not need to be baptized and chrismated by visitors? Why, the Holy Land, of course. The Holy Land was evangelized by the evangelists and by their master, Jesus Christ. Their descendants hold to that same faith today, changeless. The church, simply the church. At the Hermitage, we are hermits. Yes, we visited this monastery so many years ago. But we leave here rarely. Yet we are not alone, for we live on an extended spiritual retreat. Who is our spiritual director? Certainly we have the teachings of Jesus. But we must always be careful here and go slow. For as we read in our daily Mass readings this week, for to him who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, ye shall indeed hear, but never understand. Ye shall indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are heavy of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn for me to heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Matthew 13, 10 through 23. Oh my, how different this is from the loose talk I hear around me in the pop culture. And from time to time, someone will tell me directly, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Mary cannot save you, nor any saint. These words proceed from someone who believes that Jesus simply rolled back the stone from the tomb and handed everybody Christianity. All we need do is embrace it and proclaim Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. But it was not that simple. Exactly who are these men to whom Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear." Why, these are the very saints who I just told you cannot save me. This passage from Matthew 13 very often is simply passed over because it does not square with the pal Jesus view of Christianity. If you should pride yourself that you are the disciple he is speaking to, or an apostle, then I caution you to go back a few pages in the same book, where he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Let us not fall into the trap to see the scribes and Pharisees as being below us. But we hear Jesus clearly. What precisely is righteousness? It has to do with living a life that squares with the Holy Scriptures. In other words, it proceeds from understanding. The eye that sees and the ear that hears. It is the fruit of discernment. Now, exactly what did people discern when the stone was rolled away and Jesus emerged? This is the crucial question. What was understood? Let us begin by singling out the things that no one discerned. No one discerned that Jesus was God, that he was the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. You know, the phrase "the Son of God" is applied to an angel. That his Father really and truly is our Father. That our salvation lies in being adopted by him. That our birthright in this family, seen in our divine image, begins a journey called theosis, in which we grow into complete unity with him. That God is three persons, a Trinity. That the Holy Spirit was one such person. That Jesus was man, God, fully human and fully God. That we have a soul which is the object of battle between angels and demons. That there is a hell to which our bodily cravings lead us. That Jesus' incarnation has redeemed us. No one understood any of these things. What are these things? We call them Christianity. The articles of faith that pop Christianity offers today, "Believe and be saved," can be traced back no farther than the 16th century, with many aspects of born-again religion having been developed on the American frontier during the 19th century. These are the strange and diverse teachings that the Scripture warns us against. Now, I am not diminishing the importance of belief in the sonship and kingship of the Lord Jesus. Far from it. Without this, there is nothing. But I ask you, if belief is so important, who then are the most fervent and reverent believers in the Holy Gospels? The disciples? No, not the disciples. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests? The most fervent believers in the Gospels are the demons of hell. As St. James writes, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." the demons of hell and their master Satan believe, shall they now on that account be saved? Belief is an all-important starting point. We cannot begin the journey without it, but it is a journey. Many miles lie ahead, and the night is far spent. What is the nature of this journey? As in any holy pilgrimage, it is to follow the holiest pilgrims who have gone before us. And who are they? The first among them are the ones Jesus called to see and to hear. And then their spiritual descendants. You see, they are fathers, and they have many sons and daughters who must be faithful to those fathers. As with any disciples, they did not understand everything all at once. And I am still pondering things my teachers told me a half a century ago. But over time, the pieces do fall into place. This is why Jesus promised a spirit of truth, who would come not only to teach, but also to remind what has been taught. This is how Christian doctrine came about. For three centuries, the one church did not understand who Jesus was, what his life signified, what his death on the cross meant in a detailed way, who the Holy Spirit was and what the Holy Trinity might be. When St. Basil the Great wrote his masterpiece on the Holy Spirit, the church did not yet have a settled doctrine on the Holy Spirit, and this was written in the latter 4th century. This means, of course, that a settled theology of the Holy Trinity also had not yet been defined and agreed to. Our own Nicene Creed comes from this same century, 300 years after Jesus ascended to heaven. The scriptures themselves would require time. They began in an oral form, holy stories shared in hushed silences and house churches. Saints Peter and Paul and the other apostles traveled from community to community that the faithful could see with their own eyes the man who had seen the living Lord. Saint John was carried on a litter in his old age, perhaps 100 years old, so that a young girl or a young boy might touch the head that lay on the Master's breast. And then be touched by them in subsequent generations. This woman, this ancient woman, touched the head of the blessed disciple. The earliest written scripture, probably the Pauline correspondence, would not be written for 20 years. Following the crucifixion of the Lord. That is one whole generation later. There are those who would argue that the Holy Gospel according to St. John was not completed in its final form until the beginning of the second century. Time was required. Time and discernment. The Holy Spirit's guidance was required as faithful men and women were singled out for this holy work. Holy lives had to be lived and discerned themselves, even to the point of exhuming the remains of the saints, discovering which of them had not decomposed as others had. Holiness itself had to be understood, embraced, cherished, and followed. What exactly did the fathers teach? Well, I could offer an 8-semester course, that's 4 years of university, and still not cover the subject fully. But let us look at a brief sampling. Origen, that most influential of the fathers, born in the second century, took his cue from one line in the Gospel of St. Mark. that Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. Reprinted in St. Matthew's Gospel, which happens to contain 90% of St. Mark's Gospel. It's just a better reprint with other things added. And then developed a doctrine of life, that Jesus redeemed us not so much with his death as with his life. You see, the arrogance that had led Satan to make war in heaven. Now, there's a calculation for you. Let's declare war on God. Also led him into the vain conceit that hell could imprison the Son of God. What? That death could surround, much less contain, the cosmic principle and person of life itself? And Jesus shattered hell's power, offering life ever after to all who will receive it. The so-called ransom theory of atonement continues to be primary today. Saint Irenaeus agreed with Origen that it is Jesus' life which has endowed us with eternal life. Noticing the pattern of new creations in the scripture, from Eden to the new world after the flood to the incarnation of God, that God's way is always to begin again. Together with St. Justin Martyr, born at the end of the first century, St. Irenaeus was the first to understand Jesus to be our maker, our creator, the framer of the universe, the Father's instrument of creation, the eternal Word. St. Irenaeus and Justin Martyr saw that Jesus had summed up all of creation in himself, and that through him we might be restored to the kingdom of heaven. St. Athanasius, born during the 3rd century, wrote that after the fall from Eden, the blueprint within each living thing was ultimately death. Death was the common thread among all living things, the one common thread. By touching the creation with his incommensurable life, the blueprint within each human was redrawn, and ultimate destination for each human was life, not death, though each human can fall back into the culture of death if he or she desires. This is where Christianity comes from. It is not a moment that comes through belief, but quite the opposite, a long journey. Holy men and women on a great journey to meet with God. The proto-pilgrim, the firstborn of creation, was their elder brother, Jesus of Nazareth. And they were to be his adopted sisters and brothers. "Who are my brothers and sisters?" he asked. "Whoever does the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother," Matthew 12:50. Today we celebrate the greatest among our older brothers following Jesus, whom we call the fathers of the church. We have the apostles. We have the apostolic fathers, the fathers alive during the time of the apostles, and then the fathers following them. They guided the church through the first 7 ecumenical councils, 8 if you count the first century Council of Jerusalem. We do not adduce everything they have written as being authoritative, but for purposes of doctrine, we receive what the church calls the patristic consensus, those golden convergences where their insights agree. For without this imperishable gift of revelation, organically united with its checks and balances, we as Christians would have nothing. Rolled away the stone and then gave Christianity to everyone who will believe. For to him who has more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Flinty words from the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is a journey, a struggle, if you will, but we are not alone. For we have the fathers to guide us, and to them he promised that he will be with them until the end of the age. And they have bequeathed to us, their descendants, the priceless gift of their writings. These are the writings of the undivided church. Before there was a Roman Catholic Church in the 11th century, before there was a Protestant Revolution in the 16th century, one. And in that unity, we received the safety and security of the faith. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.